Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
A lot been going on in Federal Parliament this week, and a regular guest on the show, Mark Dreyfus. He is the Shadow Attorney General, the member for ISACS. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Good. Look, we have a couple of questions for you. I wanted to ask, not wanting to beat anyone up, but political donations. Michael Kroger has previously been on record saying that he believes in total public funding of election campaigns. To use his words, Australians don't like dark corners. What's your view on total public funding of election campaigns, like no donations at all?
I'm not sure Australians are up for it.
No?
We're spending at the moment around $50 million on public funding of election campaigns. Total public funding would see a doubling, perhaps a tripling of that amount. At the moment, each political parties that receive more than 4% of the vote get $2.76 for each vote that they receive, which produced something in the order of $25 million, around that, for both the Liberal Party and the Labor Party. But I'm not sure that, as I say, Australians are quite yet up for complete public funding. I'm much more interested in much more transparency and I want to hear Michael Kroger's party start supporting a lowering of the limit for disclosure. John Howard put it up in 2005 to $10,000 indexed. It's now at $13,200. And it's Labor Party policy that every donation over $1,000 should be disclosed. We've been bashing away at the Liberals to try and get them to agree to this for a long time, haven't got there. I also think there should be real-time disclosure.
Yeah.
That is, straight away. At the moment, we don't learn of donations for up to 18 months after the donation is made, which is ridiculous. And I think a lot of Australians would be pretty curious to know exactly when Malcolm Turnbull made his $2 million donation to the Liberal Party, which is what's been reported. But we don't know, and he hasn't confirmed or denied. It's pretty clear, since he didn't deny it, that he's given a substantial donation. But I think Australians should have known before the election.
Agreed.
Well, we'll ask Michael Kroger that in the second hour. And if the current public funding is $50 million, well, of course, you could not have the plebiscite.
And pay for an election.
So you could pay for three elections, couldn't you?
Anyway, that's an approximate figure, but it's in that order.
Now, in terms of the plebiscite, the party, the Labor Party, hasn't confirmed its final position yet. Most of us are assuming that the party will oppose the plebiscite. Now, you're having a look at the legislation. Is there still a window for Labor to support it? And particularly in view of the Prime Minister's comments, although not specifically about plebiscite, that, you know, you can't just put legislation into the Senate and expect it to pass. You've got to negotiate and compromise. Is he leaving the door open a bit there, or is that wishful thinking on his part?
Well, they should have been talking to us, if they were serious, about this well before the plebiscite bill was produced in the Parliament last Wednesday. They've had 13 months since this thought bubble was first announced to flesh out the detail. They didn't do it before the election. They've said all sorts of things, saying we're going to have a plebiscite. One point, I think late last year, we were definitely going to have a plebiscite this year, and now we're told it won't be until February the 11th. What's apparent is that they haven't really wanted to consult. This was not an idea dreamed up by people who support marriage equality. This was an idea dreamed up by the opponents of marriage equality. And at the moment, I can only put my personal view on this, which is that I thought instantly plebiscite idea was announced, that it was a terrible idea, and nothing that the Liberal Party has produced since, including this bill last Wednesday, has changed my mind on that. The Leader of the Opposition is going to be recommending to caucus when we next meet on the 11th of October that the Labor Party formally oppose the plebiscite and vote against it in the Parliament. And my expectation, although I can't announce a formal position yet, my expectation is that the Labor Party will in fact adopt that position.
Mark, it's Pete Dillon. Once we get to that position that the party opposes it, what then comes next? Do we wait another 3 years until we go back to the polls and marriage equality becomes an issue for the next election? Or, as Malcolm Turnbull has hinted at yesterday, there is some room for compromise in the legislation itself. And how far do you think that compromise will go to the point where the plebiscite is ditched and we go back to the idea of a vote in the Parliament, which is what changed the marriage bill in 2004?
We should have a vote in the Parliament. That's my position. That's been Labor's position for a long time now, and that there should be a free vote in the Parliament. There will be escalating pressure, I expect, from the Australian community on the government to allow a free vote on a bill in Parliament. I don't care whether it's a government bill or a private member's bill, whether it's a bill sponsored by Bill Shorten and Tanya Plibersek or a bill jointly sponsored by half the Parliament. And I don't think that the LGBTI community in Australia care either. What we want is marriage equality now, and that's achievable. We could have it this year.
We could have it this week.
Yes, well, we can't have it this week because Parliament's not sitting, but we can have it next week.
Beg your pardon.
The next sitting week, the Parliament's not sitting very much this year thanks to Mr Turnbull's very sparse sitting schedule. But when we next sit, which is the 10th of Monday, the 10th of October, there could be a free vote on the floor of the Parliament. It's up to the government because they control process in the House of Representatives, but they could allow it. And this used to be Mr Turnbull's position, and I'm hoping he will get back to it. We'll have to get through this plebiscite issue first, but the plebiscite is a distraction. It was dreamed up by Tony Abbott and the right of the Liberal Party to shore up Abbott's leadership back in August last year.
And we saw what happened then.
It didn't work, but it's weirdly been reincarnated and brought forward by Mr Turnbull. I am very much hoping that it is voted down by the Parliament, and then we will be back where we have been for some years, which is needing to have a vote on a bill in Parliament. That's the way we make laws in this country. You've rightly reminded listeners of the 2004 amendment that Mr Howard brought to the Parliament.
Yeah.
To change the wording of the Marriage Act. It's quite a simple amendment to bring about marriage equality, I say as a former lawyer. And we should have that simple amendment before the Parliament so we can all vote on it. It's reasonably clear that a vote would pass in both houses.
Indeed. Mark, I want to move on. It's been announced or in the news in the last 24 hours about the resignation of Stephen Conroy, Senator for Victoria. I'm probably going to ask you a personal question rather than a political one. What's your reading of the timing of this decision and the decision itself?
He wanted to go. He's made a life decision, I suppose you could call it. He's got a 9-year-old daughter. He and his wife, Paula, want to lead, I think, what most of your listeners would think of as a more close family life where Stephen can see Bella grow up. He said pretty poignantly, this is a standing problem for members of Parliament, because we all travel, and you miss out on seeing your kids grow up. I went into Parliament when my youngest was 18, so I'm in a different position, but I look with admiration and numerous colleagues who are having babies or having young children. Penny Wong's an example. She's got two small kids, and I know she misses them constantly, and I think Stephen, after 20 years in the Parliament, has made that decision, and he's given service for 20 years to the country. He's entitled to make that decision.
I understand the decision. My curiosity is around the timing. We've just had an election. He's just been re-elected for 6 years. Is this not a decision he would have thought about 3 months ago?
You're right, but there's no good time. Mm. There's always going to be people able to say, why now? And it's the right time for him. It may not be the right time for the parliament. It may not be the right time for the people. Happily, in the case of senators, we don't have to have a by-election. The constitution provides a process where a replacement senator is nominated by the party from which the retiring senator comes, and the Parliament of Victoria nominates that person.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. It's Tass here. Just another question in relation to Conroy's resignation. What are your personal views about the way in which he actually conducted this this resignation? It seems a little bit odd to me that nobody knew about it.
I've got nothing really I can say. It was an unusual way to announce his resignation. Not a lot of notice given. That's true.
I mean, all of us have worked in various environments and we've moved on from jobs, and the courteous thing to do is to let a colleague or at least your manager know that you're actually resigning. Isn't it basic courtesy for Steve to have actually let the leader know?
He did it in the way that he did it.
Putting you in a difficult position, Mark.
He did it in a very Stephen Conroy way.
He did it in a Stephen Conroy way.
Who was it that not so long ago sent a fax? Was the problem when Bishop sent a fax to announce her resignation?
Yeah, One final thing.
He at least announced it. He at least announced it in the Parliament by tabling a speech, and there it was. It avoided the possibility of him being talked out of it by colleagues.
Yeah,
and he's now resigned.
Wow!
Just one final question, George Christensen. He's been going on about the age of consent in Queensland, saying that this is the sort of arguments they're going to be making around marriage equality. That homosexuality is pedophilia, etc., etc. How do these people say these things with a straight face? Serious. I mean, they've got a straight face.
Well, and get away with it.
I mean, how do they... It's all right for a 50-year-old man to groom a 16-year-old girl, apparently, but not the other way. And, I mean, how does... Do they really, really believe this stuff, Mark? Do they really believe it?
Well, regrettably, someone who is a member of the Parliament that I'm a member of does appear to believe these things. He's on record as saying a whole range of... really disgraceful, misogynistic comments, homophobic comments, anti-Semitic comments further in his past, and he ought to be slapped down very directly by the Prime Minister, who has not, to my knowledge, said anything about Mr. Christensen's recent comments, but he should.
And it is rather outrageous. Mark, we can hear your phone ringing in the background. We know you have to go. We're indebted to your time this
morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning, I should say.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
And it's probably Stephen Conroy on the phone telling you why.
That is Mark Jaffers. He is the Shadow Attorney General, the member for ISACS in Victoria. We are delighted to have his company.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.